comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I am delighted to be here this evening, and I hope you feel the same way. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make it a habit. It's a good habit to get into. If you're a new listener, you need to know that we've got a free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files E-Zine. No strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you decide you want to unsubscribe, all right? All you need to do is just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and at the website, you'll see the button that says K-Files E-Zine. Just click on that and subscribe. If you've been tuned in for the past few minutes, you heard us talk about the Megapack, and the Megapack is going like hotcakes. I've only got 9 left. Now, as we've been telling people, I only burned 50 copies of that for this special offer. Now, it will be available after this 50 copies is gone, but it won't be available at $15, and you won't get the 2 free bonus gifts. So now's the time. There's 9 left. You need to go ahead and order, and make it a really sweet deal, because you get it for $15. You get 20 shows. That's less than a buck a show. And if you look at the website, you'll see the ad. Just click on that, and it takes you to the order page. And, you know, it lists for you on that ad. You have to get a magnifying glass out to read it, but you can read all the 20 names of the 20 guests. And it's some good stuff, really hot stuff. And also, we've taken all the commercials out. I want to say thanks to all of our affiliate stations around the country and around the world for carrying the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And a special thanks to Mark Maverick, owner of iRadio LA, and his very special help that he gave us after the big storm and the lightning strike that gave us so many technical issues. He gave us a lot of help getting things back up and running again. And we've got tens of thousands of listeners out there, so my special thanks to iRadio LA and its owner, Mark Maverick. You know, every once in a while, I get email. I would say maybe 3-4 times a week, I get email from people who are suggesting someone to have on the show. And my guest tonight is someone that was suggested to us, and we have finally been able to make contact and to schedule him to be with us. He's known around the country, and he's known, his nickname is Dr. UFO, Pat Marcatilio, and he's going to join us in just a few minutes. He's on the line with me, and he'll join us here in just a few minutes, talking about his involvement with UFO investigation and research over the past 3 or 4 decades. He's got a lot of information, and I'm looking forward to asking him a lot of questions about what's going on. All right, we're going to take this break. We will be back in just a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes or so, and we'll be talking with Pat Marcatilio.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has become one of the top resources for news about UFOs, extraterrestrial visitation, strange anomalies on Mars and the Moon, ghosts, and just about anything else considered to be edge information. AlienSeekerNews.com. It's free to join, and it's easier to join than it is to think of reasons not to. AlienSeekerNews.com. Have you ordered your Mega Pack yet? If not, you better hurry. The Mega Pack is a collection of 20 sizzling, hot, lost shows. When our computer crashed last year, I thought these shows were lost forever, but a few days ago, attempts to recover them were successful. So I took 20 of these hot shows, put them on a DVD in high-quality MP3 format, and that's Mega Pack. Now, these are shows that I know you really would like to have for your own, so I priced it phenomenally low. It's less than a dollar per show. That's right. The Mega Pack is yours for only $15, and you get 20 shows. Plus, you get these two bonus gifts. Bonus gift number one, free shipping and handling. Bonus gift number two, an immediate download of my book, Gods in the Garden. Those two gifts are yours just to say thank you for ordering Megapack. Okay, now you know the deal. But you also need to know that I only burned 50 copies of this DVD, and they are going fast. When they're gone, this special offer will be over. The Megapack will still be available, but not at this special low price and not with these two bonus gifts. So if you want to get it for 15 bucks and these two bonus gifts, you need to order right now. Go to my site, KevinSmithShow.com, and order Megapack. Prices for everything are going through the roof, and you're paying a lot more for gasoline now than you were paying at this time last year. Hi, friends. This is Kevin Smith with a real money-saving solution for you. We have assembled some of the top-name merchants in our online mall. Now, they offer real money-saving discounts on all kinds of products, from food and beverages to furniture, jewelry, cars, travel, vacations, computers, and more. Shop our KSS mall first and save. Put that gas money to use somewhere else. That's the KSS mall at KevinSmithShow.com.
Got iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at KevinSmithShow.com.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest is Pat Marcatilio. We're going to bring him online just in a few seconds. But there is one very important announcement that I failed to make and I need to make. And some of you will get it and some of you will not. But here it is. For our listeners who live outside of the USA, we have always, well, not always, but for a long time now, we've had the availability of flash messages. You can send us a flash message to get communication with me during the show, you know, your questions, your comments, or whatever. And I read those, and we ask the guest to respond to them, just as if you called us on the telephone, because I know you don't want to make that international long-distance telephone call. It's very expensive. So we've employed flash messages, And I have discovered that because of all of the spam mail, you cannot imagine. I get, here lately I've been getting over 1,000 spam mails daily. And because of that and the filters we installed, I discovered that some of your flash messages didn't make it through to me. So we fixed that. It will get through to me, but not if you send it to the old address. If you send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, it won't get here because that does not exist anymore. I had to kill it because we were getting so many spam messages on that account. So what we've done is you just go to my website, and down there on the page where it says you can send us a flash message, just click on that. It's a link. And it'll open up a little window for you, and there's a form. Now, there are people who say, well, I don't like to use a form. Well, then you're not going to get through to me. It's that simple. To get through to me, you got to use that form because it is designed to get you through all the filters and get you to the correct address. All right? I will get it if you send it using that form. All right. Let me introduce again to you, my guest, who has so graciously decided to be with us this evening and agreed to be with us this evening. His name is Pat Marcatilio. He is known to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people as Dr. UFO. He has spent more than 30 years or so in researching and studying this whole phenomena of UFOs. But for more than 20 years, he's been having meetings every month where these UFO topics are discussed and interesting cases presented and so forth. And then also he has two conferences each year. Now, that's a pretty big bite, two conferences per year. Pat Marcatilio, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm proud to be with you, Kevin.
Now, I got to ask you this question. Can you hear me? Because I'll tell you, we had some technical difficulties because of a lightning strike, and we've just gotten the telephone system sort of back online here with the broadcast system. So are you able to hear me okay?
Not very well.
Not very well. I'll see what I can do with that. Is that any better?
Not yet.
Well, we'll work on it all the way through the show, but I'll try to speak up for you.
I have to hold my other ear to hear you.
Oh, is that right?
Well, yeah, it's really low.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do. I'm not sure there's a great deal that I can do, but I will try.
Okay.
let me say we can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
So we'll work on that other. All right. Tell us, if you will, why is it that you are referred to as Dr. UFO? How did that come about?
Well, back 20 years ago, I started working with abductees, and I began using doctors' reports. Well, abductees came to me, and I started working with Whitley Strieber on abductees with implants in their body. And they came to me, and he asked me whether I could bring two of my people up to meet him in New York City. So the abductees get strange interjecting thoughts in their mind, and they are doing, just to give you an idea, they are doing the dishes in the kitchen, and all of a sudden they get this strange interjecting thought to go to the picture window, and they go there, and they see a spaceship over the treetops. And they get another strange interjecting thought to go into their car and drive down this road, and that's where they're being abducted. So I started working with CAT scans of these and MRI scans and X-rays of the places where the people claim, the abductees claim they were getting the strange interjecting thoughts. And as we worked with the people, they would, well, the doctors called them into the office as a consultation, said, where are you getting them? And in some cases, they would point right to the center of their head. And after 3 hours and their MRI scan, the what showed up in their scan was this strange anomaly right in the center of their head. And the doctors circled it and marked it, put an arrow to it, and said they don't know what it is. It shouldn't be there. And they would like, you know, they didn't know what it was. So in another case, it was inside the person's nose, about an inch in behind the nose, was a big U-shaped area. And that's where she was getting their strange interjecting thoughts. And when she
how do they know where these thoughts are coming from?
What was that?
How do they know? You said they could point to the very spot where these thoughts were coming from. How do they know? Do they have a sensation or a feeling from there?
Yeah. Yeah, they get a little buzzing feeling, and they can feel where the implant is. In most cases that I have found. So this, you know, in this case, it was a big U-shaped area that was an inch in behind her nose. And the doctors put an arrow to it on the MRI scan. And working with the doctor reports and the hospital reports and all the medical reports that we were using, in my UFO group that I have monthly meetings with, they started calling me Dr. UFO. I was the only one working with doctor reports at the time, and hospital reports and x-rays and MRIs and CAT scans and everything. So anyway, they got together and made me get a license plate with DR space UFO, Dr. UFO on it. So that's my license plate, New Jersey here.
All right. So now you were working
with...
So that's
how that came about.
Now you said that back then at that time you were working with Bud Hopkins and with Whitley Strieber. Now these guys, Bud Hopkins especially, I know, has in fact... he's worked with hundreds of people that say that they have been abducted. Would you say you have worked with hundreds as well?
No, I haven't worked with hundreds. Mostly people that came to my meetings. There might be, many, many people that were abducted that came to my meetings, and I was working with them.
All right, now let's talk about these meetings. You started having these monthly meetings when?
In September 1984.
Why did you start having these meetings?
I started in September 1984.
Yeah, but why? Why did you decide to have them?
I've been doing UFO research ever since the 1950s. And I felt I wanted to talk to other people that were interested in it also. So I went down to my library in Hamilton Township, just outside of Trenton, New Jersey, and asked the library administrator if I could have a meeting room. And he said, what for? So I had to tell him that, well, I wanted to talk to, I wanted to share my experiences and see if other people are out there that would like to talk about Earth mysteries and UFOs and ghosts and haunted houses and extraterrestrials. And he looked at me and he said, took him a few, 30 seconds of walking around and said, okay, we'll give you a room. And we started meetings once a month on the first Wednesday of the month. And ever since then, I've been having meetings every first Wednesday for 24 years now. just celebrated our 24th anniversary of monthly meetings. Same place, same station.
Well, that's good. Congratulations. Now, let me ask you this. What do you do at these meetings?
We share experiences. All our people share experiences that they've had. We get new people, and we show films of UFOs. We have book reports that people tell us. We have what's going on television. We talk about that on UFO information that they are giving us on TV. And we talk about conferences, people that go, and what the speakers talked about, and the new information that's coming out, and the old information, too. We have people that have birthdays that month, and I'll read them what happened on their birthday in ufology during that day.
Well, now, I'll tell you, that right there, that thing about what happened on your birthday in ufology, that would be something that would be worth having for all of the UFO sites to be able to display on this day in history.
Yeah.
You know, that would really be worth having, and you ought to think about compiling that.
Okay.
That would be, I would put it up on my site, I guarantee you.
It is very, very interesting, and people like to know what happened on their birthday in ufology.
Now, outside of the field and the world of ufology, for these 24 years that you've been doing these meetings, what else do you do? What is your full-time career or occupation?
Well, I worked for the post office.
Uh-huh.
I was a postal worker, and I just retired a few years ago, and I'm retired now.
Well, congratulations on being retired as well. I tried that. It didn't work very well.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't like being retired.
Oh, no?
No, I didn't like it.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Now,
after working for the post office,
well, yeah,
and all the bosses that you have giving you orders all the time, it's a nice, relaxing feeling to be away from all of that.
Yeah, you know what I found out about being retired is everyone else around me gets up and goes somewhere every day, and you know I got bored, so I'm not retired anymore.
I see you got bored. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not bored yet.
I tried fishing for a while, but you can only do that for so long, and then you're bored with that.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you, I didn't retire from doing the show. I kept doing the show right along, but, you know, I need some place to get up and go and something to do every day. I don't like not having
right.
that. All right, now, I looked at your website, and I noticed that you have two conferences per year.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big deal to have two conferences. And
yeah,
I looked at some of your guests. I mean,
work.
Yeah. I looked at some of your guests that you've had in the past. I mean, you've had Ingo Swann. You've had Hans Holzer.
Yeah.
You've had Stephen Bassett, Bruce Maccabee.
Right.
And I could just go on and on. You've had all the top names.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And how do you manage to do two conferences per year? And most of the folks that are producing conferences, it eats their lunch to do one each year.
Right.
So how are you able to do two?
A lot of work. I don't know. Just something inside me keeps me going.
Yeah,
I want to get the word out. It's public education, and that's why I have monthly meetings at the library for public education, and it's the only way we're going to get the word out to the people outside of what you're doing.
Well, let's talk about getting the word out, and let's talk about what is the word. What is the message that you are trying to get out to the public? What is it that you want them to know?
Well, I'd like them to know that we are seeing UFOs for real, and many, many, thousands of people that I've talked to have seen UFOs and have been abducted and have seen extraterrestrials, and they're different. There's, they talk about the grays, but there's a lot of other ones around too, ETs. Mm-hmm. So
now, have you ever seen a UFO yourself?
Yes, I have. I've seen UFOs 8 times in my life.
Wow. I've seen them once, twice, 3, I guess 4 times I've seen them.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And now one time was up pretty close. It was my family and I were driving out through the countryside. And one of my boys pointed up towards the sky to the left of the vehicle and said, "Look at that." And I just, I glanced over there and looked. And then I stopped the car. And I said, "Wow." And I got out and we stopped and all of us got out and looked at it. And it was not very high. It was maybe 800 feet high. And, listen.
That is pretty close.
It is. We have to take a break, and we'll continue when we come back. I'll finish that story, and then I want to hear some from Pat Marcatilio from Dr. UFO as well. So we'll be back right after this.
Just a fool for giving me no time. Walk away, my sweet heart.
Nothing in our lives is as important as people. You know that. And one of the best ways to express your appreciation and love to those very important people in your life is to send them a bouquet of beautiful fresh flowers. Like everything else these days, the prices at the florist shops have been on the rise. Add to that the cost of gasoline to get to the shops, and sending flowers can be, well, expensive. But not when you use the excellent services of our friends at 1-800-Flowers. Shop online and save 100% of your gasoline costs. Plus, you get great prices for beautiful arrangements, as little as $24.95. And you also can get same-day delivery. Visit 1-800-Flowers in the KSS Mall at kevinsmithshow.com. Send beautiful, fresh flowers to that someone special today.
Welcome back. My guest this evening is Pat Marcatilio, and we're talking with him about UFOs because he is, in fact, Dr. UFO. Pat, I was telling you as we went away for break about this experience that we had, this sighting.
Right.
And, you know, it was only about 800 feet at first, about 800 feet up, and maybe 200 to 250 yards away, maybe 300 yards away, laterally, and or it was downrange, 200, maybe 300 yards, and about 800 feet up. And this thing was a triangle. It was not one of the huge, massive triangles, although it was a pretty good size. And it was just hovering there.
Wow.
And then it rose to maybe 12, 1,500 feet, and then it came back down, and then it took off towards the northeast, and when it took off, it made no sound at all, and it disappeared in a hurry, and faster than anything I've ever seen. And so me and my whole family saw that, and that was pretty
cool.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing, the news media the next day, now this was in Louisiana, and this was out in the countryside in a place called Richland Parish. And the next day, there's a little, I won't even call it a town, but there's a little spot on the map called Four Corners, which is in the south end of the parish, and I was up in the northern end of the parish. And the news media the next day, we're running this tongue-in-cheek ridicule. Four folks in Four Corners see UFO.
Oh.
So there were some people down in Four Corners that saw it.
Wow, that's
and,
great.
So they were talking about it on the radio, you know, and sort of making fun of it. And I called in, and I said, look, let me tell you something. I said, I'm not going to give you my name. Because I'm a law enforcement officer, I don't want to involve my agency in this. But, you know, you're making fun of these people, but I saw it too, and so did all of my family. So these four folks in Four Corners are not alone. I saw it, and I saw it up close, and it's real.
Wow.
And then they wanted to talk about it, and they wanted to know more about me and you know, and I just wouldn't tell them because I didn't want to involve my law enforcement agency.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you will, share with us a little bit what's happening in the world of UFOs.
What's happening? Dr. Edgar Mitchell just announced in France about the big hullabaloo that he was talking about, having high officials in government that have told him, who were personal friends, that told him that of their own experiences. So that's one of the big things that's happened recently. You heard about that, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Edgar Mitchell was our sixth, our astronaut who was the sixth man to walk on the moon.
Yeah, he was a guest on the show last month. And, you know, and it
I
was
had
sort
dinner
of,
with him one evening.
He is a really fascinating individual, isn't he?
He's a, yes, he's a wonderful person.
But, you know, I had asked him about, I said, why now? I said, you know, 2 years ago you made a speech down in Florida that got reported in the St. Petersburg, Florida paper, but it never got picked up on the national news wire.
Huh.
But I said, in that speech, you said that there are extraterrestrials and that the Roswell crash was real and that bodies have been recovered. And that I said, now you've been saying this stuff for a long time. And I said, 2 years ago you said that, and I found that report, and I reported it here on this show 2 years ago. And now all of a sudden, it's like the press has finally awakened, and
yeah.
it's big news now.
That's what it looks like.
And he said, yeah, that was kind of an astounding thing to him. Because he's been saying the same thing for 10 years.
Right.
What's happening with the press? Are they awakening? Are they being forced into reporting? How can I say? Reporting righteously?
I think they're finally waking up and are able to talk about it without tongue-in-cheek. More or less, they're able to tell us what is the truth for change.
Well, and it's a good change. And
yes.
Actually, you know, newspapers were already in the tank and already suffering. And then here of late, there have been massive layoffs at daily newspapers all over the country because ad revenues have gone down. And I just wonder, you know, I've said it on this show. I said, you know, I cannot imagine what's the matter with these people. Here they are already in the tank. And the bottom is falling out of their industry. And they ridicule the very people that they need to buy their papers.
Wow, that's right.
You know, it's what is about 80% of America says yes, UFOs are real.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. That's true. Unbelievable.
And then you know they ridicule the public and expect them to still go out and buy the newspapers. I've said it many times on this show. You know, what's the matter with these people? I can't imagine them.
Yeah.
But maybe someone at one of these newspapers has heard me say that. Maybe. I don't think so. I think what really happened is that article that came out in Chicago about the O'Hare UFO incident. And the reporter just reported. He didn't add. He didn't take from it. He didn't joke. He just wrote a straight report.
Yeah, that's the best thing that they could do.
Yeah. And they posted it on their website, and that report got more hits on their website than any other report of any type ever in their history.
Wow.
In the first 24 hours, it was up. They had over a million hits. Yeah. And
well,
I think other newspapers probably paid attention to that.
From Japan that's taking pictures of the moon right now. Did you hear about that?
I'm not sure. Tell me, and it'll refresh my old memory.
It appeared in the newspaper about 2 months ago or so. And the Japanese satellite circling the moon took photographs, and it found a road on the moon. And they put the picture right in the newspaper.
Which newspaper? Was it in Japan?
It was in the Trentonian in Trenton, New Jersey.
Wow. Now, do you have a, or can you get a digital copy of that that we can put up on a website?
Yeah, we could get a copy for you.
I'd love to put that up on the website.
Sure.
So they and the Japanese scientists looked at that and said, that's a road?
Yes, that's what they said. It was right under, you know, right under the photograph that they showed.
And to your eye, did it look like a road?
Yeah, yes, it did. We were up high, and it's a, you know, it's quite a long road, long line that looks like a road on the moon.
And could you see, like, did it go to a building, or did it?
No, we didn't see any buildings.
Have they? Do you know if the Japanese have photographed any structures, any buildings, or anything like that?
Well, that's the only thing that I know of.
Well, a road is, that's enough. That tells you somebody is there or has been there.
Yeah, and the road's going somewhere, both directions.
Now, was it a narrow road, or did it look, you know, wide like one of our interstate highways?
I would say it was pretty wide.
Wow.
Yeah. You could see it very clearly on the picture.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you say that's on the
of it.
That's on the back side of the moon?
I'm not sure where it was.
Because I'll tell you what, now, there are some pretty interesting pictures, interesting photographs that have been taken that, you know, are on the back side, or the dark side, as we call it, of the moon. And there are some really strange, anomalous things in those photographs.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you also, have you ever heard of Alan Sturm?
No, I haven't.
Alan published a book. He's a professional graphics artist. I'm probably not using the right term there, but he works with computer graphic art.
Okay.
And as a basis for that, he does a lot of professional photography as well. And so he was going to publish a coffee table book of just some of the photographs that NASA has published from the moon. Now, since he works with 3D animation and structural art and things like that, as he started looking at these photographs from NASA, his eyes caught lots of stuff that you and I would have missed.
Oh, how about that?
So what he's done is he's published the book, and these are NASA photographs, and the only thing he's done is use very faint color highlighting on some of these shapes and objects that his eye caught, and it's phenomenal. And in the book, he publishes the photograph just as NASA provided it, and then right beside it, the same photograph where he's highlighted the thing to look at. And after you look at it, then you look back at NASA's photograph, your eye picks it up immediately in NASA's photograph without the color highlighting, and you say, well, yeah, I see that.
You know? Wow.
And it's pretty phenomenal. There's one, you know what an Airstream trailer is?
Yes.
Okay. There is a photograph that he's got that it really does not look like an Airstream trailer, but that's about as close as I can get to it in describing it.
Oh, how about that?
And it looks like it's it's just a long thing that's sort of shaped like an Airstream trailer. However, there's an energy field around it, or a light field around it, and you can see through that into where this trailer thing is. Hey, we have to take a break again. We'll be back, folks, right after this with Dr. UFO. Don't go away.
And your feet are getting harder. We ain't getting smarter. You're giving that good, but you ain't getting paid. And your girls are sitting pretty. Stuck in the city.
Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
And welcome back. My guest this evening is Pat Marcatilio, Dr. UFO. Pat, if you will, share with us a little bit about, and over all these years, there have to be some cases that to you seem like the really big ones, the ones that really stand out. So to you, what would be some of the really big cases that stand out?
The big cases of UFOs?
Yeah.
I would say one of the best things that we have is Betty and Barney Hill's case. It was never, it was never really ridiculed, I don't believe, by the press. And that's one of the most solid cases that we have. She had always told us the truth about it, and held that right to her grave when she died a couple of years ago. That's one of the greatest ones that we have. Let's see, Kenneth Arnold seeing the nine discs way, way back there.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best ones, too. The Trent photographs that was taken, the two photographs of the UFOs, the UFO... that's never been, it's always, been tested and over and over and over again, and those photographs remained unquestioned.
All right, now when you say the Trent photographs, what are we talking about?
The Trent, I think they were from Oregon back in the 1950s. they were tested and tested by, you know, probably 100 times by now. And I just found the date that the Japanese photograph is in the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
It was January the 13th, 2008.
And do you happen to have the title of the article there?
Yeah. It's called Hopping Aboard the UFO.
Wow.
And it was in January 13th, Sunday, 2008. And it says, it's www.trentonian, TRENTONAN.com. And under the picture, which shows this large line going across, it says, the Japanese Selene-Kagoya Explorer provides high-definition video of the moon. JAXA, J-A-X-A, Japanese Space Agency, has released a video showing 3D images around the moon's Dyson, D-Y-S-O-N, crater, and a road-like feature. These are part of the ongoing releases from the Selene, S-E-L-E-N-E, probe that is in lunar orbit. So there you have it.
Well, I've gone to the website. I'm trying to find that article, but I don't see it yet. If I can find it, and there's a picture with it?
Yeah.
If I can find that article, I will put it up on our... We
okay.
have a video feed, and I'll put it up there. All right, so now what do you think this road represents? Do you think it's someone is there now, or do you think it's someone has been there?
It's hard to tell. I think that they're there mining the moon. You know, I don't see why not. We're not. So I guess yeah, it's possible that they could be. There's a lot of photographs in other books that have come out showing large X machines mining the moon. I don't know if you've heard about that, have you?
The large machines, yeah.
Large X-shaped machines mining the moon.
Yeah. Now, I've had people on the show, I've had guests on the show who have speculated that, well, and some have said, it's for sure that we Americans are mining the moon. Others have said, well, I don't know if we're up there mining the moon, but it appears somebody is. And then, of course, the Chinese have come out and said, hey, you know what? We intend to mine the moon. That's our space program. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chinese and the Japanese... are in a space race.
Well, yeah, I guess really the Chinese, the Japanese, the European Space Agency, India, and the Russians and us, we're all in a new space race.
Yeah, India also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all in a new space race. Now, in India, there have been some...
So when are we going to return to the moon?
Well, NASA says question. The Chinese will get there before us.
It's possible.
Yeah, they say they will.
How about that?
Now, what was the date on that article?
January the 13th, 2008, Sunday.
All right, well, I'll just enter the date and see if I can pull it up, because I really would like to get that picture up. But I'm not getting that article. It's not coming up for me.
Okay.
So, anyway, folks, if I can get that picture, I will put it up on the website. If one of you listening to the show tonight, if you have that picture or if you can find it, the picture that the Japanese Space Agency took of a road on the moon. If you will email it to me, use the flash. No, you can't use the flash message. Just use our regular contact page and attach that to the email. Then I'll put it up on our video feed so we can all see it and enjoy it. Now, yeah. Whenever you have these conferences, do you have, like, for each conference, is there, like, a focus, a theme for the conference?
There's the theme is more or less UFOs and the New World Order, that's mainly what we speak about at the conferences. We've gone into remote viewing at our conference in the last few conferences also.
McGonigal has been your guest.
Yes, we just had Joseph McGonigal, 001 for the U.S. Army psychic remote viewer.
Yeah.
Who taught other people to remote view.
Well, I notice that your past guests also included Ingo Swann. Now, he's sort
That's
of
right.
the basis. He's kind of the foundation for that program that the military and then the CIA took it over.
Yeah.
What was it called, Stargate?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would think that Ingo Swann would be an absolutely fascinating individual to have
he
at the
is.
Conference.
He's very exciting.
He is the one. I haven't talked with Ingo, but I would love to have him on the show. But I've heard this story that they sent him on a remote viewing task and. He was able to go into this particular office of just mentally remote viewing in another country,
right.
He was able to read the name tags on the desk and able to read the file folder labels and so forth, and I think that really got their attention.
Yeah, it's. Tremendous, unbelievable.
You have had Hans Holzer. Now, he's no longer around, is he?
Tell you the truth, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think not. Now, we've had his daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his daughter has been on the show with me, Alexandra.
Oh.
And she talked about what it was like growing up in the home of Hans Holzer.
Wow.
And that was pretty interesting. What's going to happen? Yeah. You know, we're hearing a lot of information now about, you know, there's lots of people saying that there's going to be some type of disclosure about UFOs really soon. What about that? You think it'll happen?
I really don't think that the government's going to come out and say that UFOs are real. I think what's going to happen is disclosure coming with the high-ranking people in the government and in the military that are that have experienced their own UFO.
Yeah, but you don't think it's going to get out to the public soon.
Coming out telling us the truth about that.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, more with Dr. UFO right after this.
Shoulder do. I left the green grass in your shadow and watched it slowly fade.
Have you ordered your Mega Pack yet? If not, you better hurry. The Mega Pack is a collection of 20 sizzling, hot, lost shows. When our computer crashed last year, I thought these shows were lost forever, but a few days ago, attempts to recover them were successful. So I took 20 of these hot shows, put them on a DVD in high-quality MP3 format, and that's Mega Pack. Now, these are shows that I know you really would like to have for your own, so I priced it phenomenally low. It's less than a dollar per show. That's right. The Mega Pack is yours for only $15, and you get 20 shows. Plus, you get these two bonus gifts. Bonus gift number one, free shipping and handling. Bonus gift number two, an immediate download of my book, Gods in the Garden. Those two gifts are yours just to say thank you for ordering Megapack. Okay, now you know the deal. But you also need to know that I only burned 50 copies of this DVD, and they are going fast. When they're gone, this special offer will be over. The Megapack will still be available, but not at this special low price and not with these two bonus gifts. So if you want to get it for 15 bucks and these two bonus gifts, you need to order right now. Go to my site, kevinsmithshow.com, and order Megapack. Are you a member of our inner circle? Join today by subscribing to the Kevin Smith Show members area.
And welcome back. My guest this evening is Dr. UFO. He is, that's the way a lot of people address him. And he is a longtime student of the UFO phenomena, Pat Marcatilio. And Pat, you are in the New Jersey area, correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right, folks, I'll tell you what. We are going to open up the telephone lines, and the telephone number, well, we put the wrong thing on the screen. Let's get the right thing up there. The telephone number is now on your screen, unless if you're listening by radio, you're not watching our internet TV feed, then you need to know that the telephone number is 602-539-3316. If you have a question or a comment for Pat Marcatilio, you want to be sure and give us a call, 602-539-3316. Now, Pat, what is it that makes you think that UFOs, number one, are real, and number two, are important?
Well, when I was a youngster, I always loved astronomy, and I always thought that in seventh grade, sixth grade, that if we could find life on another planet, it would be the greatest thing of the century.
Yeah.
And I still hold that to be true. And I think that UFOs are real and that there's other people out there, and they're observing us. And why not? We would do the same thing if we found life on another planet, too.
And what do you do if someone comes to your meeting and says, Pat, I've been abducted by extraterrestrials, or I think I have, and I want to talk with you about this. What do you do? Do you just listen to them, or do you do some type of hypnotic regression, or what do you do?
No, I would listen to them, and in my own mind, I could figure out pretty quickly whether they're telling the truth or whether they're, not telling me the truth.
Have you had that happen? Have you had people try to tell you a story that you just didn't buy?
One or two, and very, very few. People talk about hoaxes, but there's very few people that ever hoax the subject that I have run across.
Why do you think that is?
Because the people that are coming to my meeting are sincere and want to know the truth about what's going on in the world that they're not getting from anywhere else. They're not getting it from television. They're not getting it from the newspapers, the news, the government. Nobody's telling them anything. But they know things are going on because they're being abducted, and that's their life.
What do they say about being abducted? What do they, I mean, do they, is it a positive experience for them or a negative experience?
In some cases, it's positive, and in other cases, it's scary for the person. It's normally a very traumatic event once they and their body rejects it, their mind rejects it and throws it away and hides it into their subconsciousness. And as in Betty and Barney Hill case, after a few years of them hiding it in their mind, it starts to give them nightmares. And that's when they really need help. And they come and to my meeting and we try and walk through it together and help them realize whether it was a real thing or a dream or what it was.
Now, you said that for many people it's a traumatic experience, and of course we know that because, we've all seen the documentaries and the stuff that you mentioned earlier on television. But my question is, why would it be traumatic?
Why would it be traumatic?
Are they being tortured physically?
Well, no. Well, they're being Well, in the first place, that what they see is normally scary, very scary. And then this scary being comes close to them, possibly touches them to lay them on a table or to press their head or their shoulders, and, you know, to have, you know, a giant being like an insect or a something that we are not familiar with so close to us, it's very scary feeling.
So it's scary and traumatic because of the way these creatures look.
Yes.
All right,
and then
now,
they do things that we don't really want to talk about to the people, and that makes it even a more traumatic event.
Well, yeah. Certainly these bugs, or whatever they are, would not have our own, they would not have the same sensibilities about them, just as we don't. When we send scientists out to pick up samples of flora and fauna, and they go out and they tag fish or porpoise or whales or whatever, you know, we don't know if we could read the mind of the porpoise. It may be thinking of us in the same way that we think of the ETs.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
And, you know, I kind of think that we're being picked up and tagged and experimented on in the same way, in the same fashion. We're being seen by them as in the same way that we see animals that we do tests on.
Yes.
And so, you know, have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, that's just a dog, he can't feel this, or that's just a fish, he can't feel this? I've seen people and heard people say those kinds of things. Truthfully, those fish and those dogs and those monkeys and those cats, they can see it and hear it and feel it all.
Right. And in a lot of cases, they have feelings, too.
Yeah. I do think, I don't want someone to misunderstand and think that I am totally against the use of animals for medical research. I'm not. But I think there are things that are done that are unnecessary outside of the field of medical research. I think there are a lot of things that are done that are unnecessary. And it puts us doing the same activity that we complain about with the ETs.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever, you personally, have you ever seen an extraterrestrial?
No, I haven't ever seen an extraterrestrial. Never been that close. All my UFO sightings have been up in the sky, and they look like big, large white, bluish-white objects going across the sky. Sometimes I thought of them as satellites also. But like in one case, my first case, I saw this thing coming across the sky, and it took like 3 minutes to get from the horizon to straight up, and I had called my wife out to help me, I mean, to come out and watch it with me, and I thought it was a satellite back in 1963. But then it got right overhead after 3 minutes, and then it took a right-hand turn and went pew, and was gone in a split second. And we looked at each other and said, my gosh, that was no satellite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know,
so
when
we
I was
wondering, what the heck was that? And so I started getting interested in UFOs.
When I was a kid, and it's hard for young people now to imagine this. When I was a kid, there were no satellites. And then Russia put one up called Sputnik.
Right.
And then following that, there were not very many satellites. And I can remember what a big deal it was when we put Telstar up. Remember that?
Telstar, yeah.
A big deal. And but, you know, you could go outside at nighttime where I lived, and I lived in Dallas. I didn't live out in the countryside. But you could go outside at nighttime, and you could easily pick out the few satellites as they would come over. But, you know, these days almost no one goes out and look, and there's bunches of satellites up there.
Yeah, yeah. It used to take about 10 minutes, and the newspaper would put the times the satellites would be going across. And you could go out and watch them for 10 minutes while across the sky.
Yeah, and now where I lived was 10 miles from downtown Dallas, but I was very much in the city limits.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but these days... it has built up so much around there. There's too much ambient light from the street lights and so forth, and
right,
you can't
right.
see anything. But, yeah.
Yeah, I belong to the Amateur Astronomers Association of Princeton, Princeton University, and they complain about that all the time.
Oh, yeah, there's just way too much light around you to see anything. And,
yeah.
You know, but... now, whenever you think, now I ask you what you thought was, what were some of the most important UFO cases, and you mentioned Betty and Barney Hill. Now, that's a UFO case, but it's an abduction case as well.
Yes.
Why do you think that one is so important?
Well, it happened to a black man and a white woman that were, you know, that were in love, and that was hardly ever heard of back in 1961. And another thing is, Barney got the feeling as the UFO was getting closer and closer that they were starting to chase them in the car, and. He had that feeling, and here it was true. So that came true also, and then here they stopped the car. They stopped the car right on the road and got in front of the car so that they couldn't go any farther, and sort of trapped them. And years later, you know, the years later, they started having these. Nightmares, and they couldn't sleep anymore. They had to be regressed so that they could remember the whole story and clear their mind with Dr. Simon. And later on in years, Betty described this large needle that they put into her stomach to see if, I'm not really sure, but it was a pregnancy test.
Yeah,
so
these days we call it...
case.
Yeah, these days, amniocentesis.
Yes.
And, that's, and this was long before that was known and used as a test here on Earth.
That's right.
Yeah. All right,
and
now.
And she described the star map also from Zeta Reticuli that their ETs came from.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in just a second. Now, you probably can't see this, but folks... someone emailed me the picture of the moon with the, it's from the Japanese Space Agency, and it's got the road on it. Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to see it all that well, but I'll tell you what let's do. Let me do a couple of things here that'll make it easier. First thing I'll do is take off the telephone number from off of our... off our screen. Now I'm going to mark, I'm just going to point with an arrow where that road is. It's a straight line right at the bottom of the yellow arrow that will be appearing on your screen. And it runs between point A, I don't know if I can do an A, and point B over here. Not a very good B, but there it is. All right, so Well, I don't see that appearing on your screens. There it goes. All right. Now, this is just a very straight line, and looks, when you look at the picture close up, looks like the road, or looks like a road, and this is what Pat was talking about. It is pretty amazing, actually. All right,
it's
now
really
let's.
Really amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And right, here the Japanese found it, not us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk some more now about this this star map that Betty and Barney Hill, or that Betty Hill had. She drew this star map under hypnosis, right?
Yes.
And this was based on a map that she saw aboard the spaceship.
That's right.
Now, Pat,
she asked the ETs where they were from, and they responded by showing her the map.
Okay, and at that time, we didn't know where that was in the universe. In other words, when the astronomers looked at her map, they didn't know where it was. I remember Look Magazine or Life Magazine, I forget which one it was, but one of them published that story about Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
And they published that drawing of that map. But at that
right.
time, and this would have been back in the 60s, I think, at that time, we didn't know where that was.
That's
and
right.
Then there was an astronomer, and I wish I could remember her name, but I think her name is Fish.
I think that's right, Marjorie Fish.
Marjorie Fish. And she started working with that star map, and of course, as time had gone on, there were a lot of astronomical discoveries. And she somehow realized that star map made sense if you went out to Zeta Reticuli and looked back toward the Earth. And it matches up with Zeta Reticuli from that perspective.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And they discovered a couple stars also that were not on the map of the astronomers that they had at the time, but later on they discovered additional stars which were on the map to make it look like the map that Betty had.
So you're saying that the map that Betty drew was more accurate than what the astronomers knew?
Yeah. They discovered additional stars later in the years to make the picture accurate.
Now, back then, I don't recall. See, I was a kid, but my parents took Life magazine and Look magazine.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't remember which one it was in, but it was in one of those. But I don't recall that there was any sort of ridicule attached to that reporting. It just told the story.
That's right, there wasn't.
You also brought up that he was a black man, she was a white woman, and this was at a time in the history of our country where that was just frowned on.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that magazine article, there was nothing said about that. They never even mentioned that. And that's a pretty amazing thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, considering the times.
Yes. Well, Barney Hill was a postal worker also.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now, she drew the map. She also had a, I don't know if it was made of clay, but it was a model.
Yeah.
Of a
sculpture
of I guess you could say a bust of an alien, a gray, and she said that it looked like what she saw.
Yes.
So I'm persuaded if that map is that accurate, then when she says that that little sculpture is what she saw, that it looks like that, I'm persuaded she's accurate on that too.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Now, have you looked into this case much, Pat? Have you investigated this case much?
Well, no, I haven't really investigated. I just know the information that came out of it.
Uh-huh. Do you know if they were ever questioned or debriefed by the military?
I know that they live next to Peace Air Force Base, and she did call the base and was talking to some of the officers there, and I believe she visited the base too. Whether they interrogated her, I'm not sure, but they did admit that they did have a UFO on their radar that night.
Wow. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Talking about, and I honestly, I don't know what you mean and say.
Football season has arrived. Friday night, you'll be enjoying high school football at its best. Saturdays will be your favorite college teams, and Sundays, it's NFL all the way. Now, you're going to need plenty of football snacks around when friends and family drop by to watch the game with you, and I recommend the fabulous selection of popcorn from Dale and Thomas. Popcorn is a pie. Dale and Thomas popcorn comes in lots of delicious flavors and makes the perfect football snack. Go over to the Kevin Smith Show Mall at my website and grab some of these great football snacks today.
And we are back. Let me remind you, if you have a question or a comment for Pat, you can call us at 602-539-3316. If you're outside of the continental United States, if you're outside of Canada, now if you're in Canada or the USA, give us a call. But if you're outside of the USA, you can use our flash message feature. And as I said, you just look on my website and scroll down, you'll see under the little article there about Pat, you'll see where it says flash message, and click on that, and you can send a flash message. I'll be happy to read it, and we'll ask Pat to comment on it. Pat, we have a couple. From Australia. This is, and he says, what are your thoughts on 2012? Do you think it could involve full-scale UFO landings around the Earth?
2012. It's possible that there could be many different things that it could be UFO landings. It could be Jesus for the second time. It could be a comet coming out of the sky, crashing near or sideswiping us or something. But the Mayan Indians say that it's going to be by fire. And we are now just entering into a place in the solar system, but more in the Milky Way galaxy, where we're getting energy coming directly from the nucleus of our Milky Way, and it's beginning to affect us right now. And in the past several years, this energy is coming out, and the Mayan Indians called that the underworld. So there could be many different scenarios that could happen.
All right. This one from the United Kingdom. This one is, would you please ask your guest if the abductees are now able to match ET species to specific types of craft, for example, reptilians to triangles, etc.?
We haven't been able to do that yet.
So we don't know, for instance, if we see a particular type of craft, we cannot assume that we know what type of ET is in that craft.
No, we don't have that ability yet. Working on it, but
okay.
It seems like the spherical is the object that's easiest through our atmosphere. So the disc or the sphere is what most of them are using. But there are a few triangles, quite a few triangle reports, and even square reports and rectangle reports. So there is quite a
I saw a report of one that was shaped like a filing cabinet, much, much bigger. But it was
wow.
It was in that shape. Now that's odd.
Wow, that's odd.
Yeah.
Like a rectangle, huh?
Yeah. Let me answer this one from the United Kingdom. It has to do with our mega pack that we're selling right now. It paid the additional shipping for a mega pack and have it sent to the UK. And that is from Susan. Susan, let me tell you, the shipping is included. So if you buy a mega pack, there's no additional shipping charges, even to the UK. That's part of the free bonus that you get. Okay?
Wow, that's a big bonus.
It is. It is. But I want people to get it. What this is, Pat, we had a computer crash last year, and I thought that the shows that we had archived in that computer were gone forever. But I have some volunteer help from time to time, and some of them are real computer whizzes, and we were able to recover some of those shows, not all of them, but most of them. And I picked 20 of the really sizzling hot top names and so forth and put them on a DVD for them. And so there's 20 shows on that. That's what the mega pack is. But let's get back to this thing about the ETs and their craft. That brings up an interesting point. We have heard of, and I don't know how accurate this is, but we have heard that there are up to 57, I've heard, different type of ETs out there. So let's assume there's 57 different types that we know about. One of my guests says that he has information that he has seen, and it was classified information, but he says that he has seen it, detailing 70 different types. But we don't see different types of craft or 70 different types of craft. We see a few, a handful, that are different. That would seem to indicate either that the physics involved limits how the craft can be built, and so they're all choosing from, just a handful of shapes and configurations for that reason, or it would indicate cooperation at a very high level for them.
Yes, that's right.
Now, the physics involved in spaceflight limited us until the shuttle. It limited us to using a spacecraft that looked very similar, although different, but very similar, to the same type of spacecraft being used by the Russians. It was, they used a capsule.
Triangle shape.
Well, they used a capsule, like the Apollo capsule, and they're still and they're still using it. It's called the Soyuz, and it is a space capsule, and so the physics involved of getting into space and getting back down limited us until some really smart people came up with a way to do the shuttle.
Yeah,
I would think that these aliens, these ETs, are smart enough that they could, if we can, the shuttle is so much different from a space capsule, so vastly different from that space capsule.
Yeah.
And here we are just mere Earthlings. I would think these ETs would be smart enough that they could come up with just about any size, shape, and configuration they wanted to and make the physics work. But it doesn't seem they have. And so I would say that it sort of indicates maybe some cooperation on their part that, okay, well, this is a joint mission. We'll use this craft.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Dr. Andreja Puharich talked about the Nine, Federation of the Nine, that overlooked the Earth. Did you hear about that?
I have read about that, but I have to admit I'm not really up on it. It's not something that that I know much about, but I have read that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's the story with that?
There's 12 different civilizations that rule over Earth, and that other ETs have to go through them in order to interfere with us, interact with us.
Why do you suppose they want to interact with us?
Why do they want to?
Yeah.
Well, probably because we are just coming out from, you know, sort of adolescence and of a civilization and just getting into space travel. They're very interested in how we grow in our travels of going into adulthood, but also it could be they're missing different things, like other people have brought up emotions, which we have a lot of emotions. We have love, we have hate, we have fear, all kinds of emotions that they may not have, and that they're trying to get back into their own species.
Well, it, you know, that may be. I wish I could think above and beyond my human abilities to think, but I can't. I'm a human. And from my human abilities to think, you know, I sort of... I guess maybe I ascribe to them some of the motives, motivations, and perspectives that we have. I sort of transfer it over to the aliens when I think about them. But you think right now about how we're all concerned, and not just in the in this country, but all over the Western world, we're very concerned about Iran and their nuclear energy program. And, you know, the fear that they may weaponize if they have nuclear power capabilities, that they may develop it into weapons. And so we're all on pins and needles and watching that. You know, if I was E.T. sitting out there in space, and if we had reached a point where we don't do war anymore, and then I watched Earth, and I saw that that bunch on Earth is about to get out here in space, and, you know, they've got some of those guys have on Earth have some really high-tech weapons.
Yeah.
We better watch these guys.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if I was E.T. and I was out there, that's the approach I'd be, I think I would be watching this place, worried that we were about to export some of our violence.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I'll tell you something, human nature being what it is, we're going to take, wherever we go, we're going to take what's in our heart. And if violence is there, we're going to take it with us into space.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, I wouldn't think so, no. And, I mean, just imagine what it's going to be like. Now, China gets on the moon and builds their base there and starts mining, and then some other nations do, and then some war breaks out down here on Earth. What's that going to do for the colonies on the moon? That's going to be interesting. All right, we have to take a break. It's our final break. We're on Final Approach after this, and we shall return.
Conversion.
Nothing in our lives is as important as people. You know that. And one of the best ways to express your appreciation and love to those very important people in your life is to send them a bouquet of beautiful fresh flowers. Like everything else these days, the prices at the florist shops have been on the rise. Add to that the cost of gasoline to get to the shops, and sending flowers can be, well, expensive. But not when you use the excellent services of our friends at 1-800-Flowers. Shop online and save 100% of your gasoline costs. Plus, you get great prices for beautiful arrangements, as little as $24.95. And you also can get same-day delivery. Visit 1-800-Flowers in the KSS Mall at kevinsmithshow.com. Send beautiful, fresh flowers to that someone special today.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. All right, we are on Final Approach, and we're talking with Dr. UFO. Let me see if we have our caller still with us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don. I'm from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you too, Don.
I can hear Pat well, but I can't hear Kevin.
That's okay. Barely. What's on your mind? We're going to run out of time.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Barely.
Okay. Hi, Pat. Yeah, you've met Richard Greer and Stephen Bassett and all those guys.
Yes.
Talking to them, have they discussed if, in their belief, do they think we're any closer to disclosure than we were 5-10 years ago?
Yes. They think that disclosure may be in January or April of next year, according to Stephen Bassett.
Okay. So they think it'll be in January next year?
It's possible right after the elections and a new the new president takes over. They think that that's one of the big things that he's going to do.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. Does that answer your question? Okay. I guess we lost him. So let's go to this one. And let's see. There we go. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And the caller is gone.
I don't hear him.
Yeah. We have talked a lot on this show about disclosure, and it's something a lot of people are very interested in, and they think that something is up and that something is going to happen. I have I've had guests on that have said that, but I've had other guests on that have said no way that you know, we've been right at this doorstep before, and nothing happened, and they don't believe anything will happen this time. So what do you think?
What do I say?
Yeah.
I think that the old guard that's trying to hide this, I think they're dying off. And the new guard, which wants the disclosure out to the wants to tell people that they're here, is the new government people, and they are the younger crowd, and they want to share with the people that this is true. So I think that's what's going on.
Well, I had one guest that was on that talked about a time before when there was going to be disclosure, and then a couple of things happened, big events happened in the world that caused the whole disclosure thing to get put on the back burner.
Yeah.
And one of those guests named two people that were in the administration that were really pushing for disclosure. And now I can't verify that this is true, and I'm not saying that this is true. I'm saying this is what was reported by a guest on this show. But one of the people that wanted disclosure was Henry Kissinger, and one of the people was Robert Gates, according to that guest.
Uh-huh.
Now, those two are still around. True enough, they're older now, but they're still around.
Yeah.
And if they have a little more support coming up with new people coming in into these positions in the government, maybe it will happen this time.
Yes.
Now, had you heard anything about those two names?
And no, I haven't, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's these according to this guest that was on, these two were pushing for disclosure, and there were other people in the cabinet that didn't want it, and these two were sort of standing alone. And according to them, there was a meeting about that. All right, let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to make it quick, but your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Caller, you are on the air. Do you wish to speak?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
We're running out of time. Your first name and where are you calling from?
I can hear you. I can all hear Kevin.
Yeah, we know that. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
What's your question? I have, I was wondering, have you had the opportunity to see that Whitney Strieber's new book, The Night Incident, by Greg Spector?
I haven't really saw it yet. I didn't get to see it yet.
You haven't seen it yet, huh?
No.
Yeah, I just wonder if you had any opinion on that. You was talking about why people are scared earlier. You guys were talking about.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you for the call. I wish we had more time, but we don't. We're going to be out of time here in a couple of minutes. And I want to say also that, you know, the telephone system was not working at all last week. We've got it working about 80% tonight. Some of you had problems calling. You couldn't get through. We're aware of that, and we now know what the problem is, and we will work on it and get that fixed. But, you know, we just moved the studio, Pat.
Yeah,
and when you disassemble this stuff and then you bring it somewhere else and you set up and you move, it takes two or three days to get things settled back in where they're working right.
Right. But, I can just about hear you.
You can almost hear me. All right. Is that
all
better?
Through the broadcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do want to thank everyone who has joined us this evening. We've had a good crowd. I want to thank everyone who tried to call in, and some of you finally were able to get in because you've probably, if you've been watching on our video feed, you've seen me adjusting things and reaching and moving things and watching to the right and to the left. Well, what I've been doing is trying to figure out how to get your telephone calls through to us. And so we finally were able to do that. And I thank you folks for calling. And we'll try to get my volume fixed now so that you folks can hear me better. And hopefully we can do that. Pat, I really want to thank you for being with us. You know, one of the reasons I wanted you to be here is because for over 20 years, you've been plugging away at getting information out to people in your area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people need to hear from someone who that's what they're doing. You know, they're providing a venue for this information, and you've done it consistently over and over, month after month, year after year. And I appreciate you for doing that. Now,
well, thank you very much, Kevin.
If you will, just stay on the phone line with me. I'll join you in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, things are better. They're at 99.9%, and we'll try to get them to 100% by tomorrow night. Hopefully, we will be able to do so. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Stay tuned on the video feed for Spine Shake Theater coming up. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.